Oregon's current minimum wage is $9.25 an hour. When compared with the national minimum wage, it sounds like a pretty good deal. It's $2 an hour higher. But $9.25 is still not considered a living wage, not enough to stay out of poverty. The popular figure to shoot for among people who want the minimum wage higher is $15 an hour. A coalition called 15 Now wants Oregon to move to that level. Support appears to be lukewarm in the Oregon legislature, where House Speaker Tina Kotek proposes $13 an hour. Two guests join us from 15 Now Oregon. Christy Wright is the statewide organizing director. Welcome, Christy.
It's good to be here.
And Evan Lasley is with us as well. He's the Southern Oregon regional organizer. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you.
So Oregon in particular, as it has one of the higher minimums in the country, that's a, you know, it's certainly better than the national average, isn't it? But what's the difference? What's the gap between what it takes to live above poverty in the state of Oregon and what the minimum wage is now? This one goes to Evan.
So, I mean, we see that 15 is really the baseline for meeting basic needs. And so that covers the cost of housing, transportation, health care, food, and meeting those basic costs in Oregon really requires $15 an hour. Just as a bare minimum. And in many cities, we see also that it's, in fact, a higher number to deal with the costs of housing in different areas such as Portland or Ashland, where people are very easily priced out of the market.
That was one of the questions I had, was whether things, other parts of the economy, namely housing, for example, have zoomed past the capacity of wages to keep up with them.
Well, certainly. I mean, for the last 35 years, the cost of living has risen much faster than wages. And it's getting harder and harder for people who are working, especially for people making minimum wage, to pay for those costs of living.
So is 15 based on some actual scientific look at the numbers, or is it a good round figure to shoot for?
So the Alliance for a Just Society, that's a think tank out of Seattle, has released several reports, some research about the cost of living in Oregon county by county. And $15 an hour is the average across the state of what it takes to pay for those basic needs that Evan was talking about. It is not an arbitrary number. It is a little bit rounded. I think their number for a living wage was 15 and some cents for a single adult. Of course, a family needs more. But 15 is a number that represents the cost of living. But I think it's also become a symbol of human dignity, this idea that all workers make valuable contributions to our community and that they all deserve respect.
So is it being discussed in terms of a phasing in over time, or do you want to go to 15 by a certain date? I mean, how do you envision this ratcheting in, if it does, in fact, ratchet in?
Sure. That's a great question. So 15 Now Oregon, together with PACUN, that's the Latino Labor Union, and the Rural Organizing Project, we have filed for a ballot measure that would raise the minimum wage over 3 years to $15 by 2019. And we're working on qualifying for the 2016 election so that voters can decide.
And how lengthy is the process for the folks who, I mean, we're aware of the fact that it takes a while to get things under the ballot. So how many different steps are there along the way?
So we have until July 2016 to collect about 88,000 valid signatures. Right now, we're just wrapping up the initial phase of signature collection. We have to collect, I believe it's up to 2,000, to have the Secretary of State review the language, make sure everything is okay. And then once we get that language approved is when we really get to start hitting the ground and collecting signatures in earnest. So there will be a lot of signature collection happening for this minimum wage ballot measure in the fall, in the winter, and the spring.
It seems like this is possibly an easier case to make in bigger cities. I know there's a 15 Now Portland. I think there's a 15 Now effort in Eugene as well. In a place like Southern Oregon, where wages do tend to be somewhat lower than in those metro areas, Evan, is somewhat a harder convincing of people who would be paying those wages?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, from our experience, we've been out speaking to people in Southern Oregon since January, and we see that this is really a nonpartisan issue. You know, in Oregon today, we spend $1.7 billion every year essentially subsidizing low wages, keeping workers on poverty wages, keeping them dependent upon public assistance programs like food stamps. And so raising the minimum wage is not just a metropolitan issue, but in fact, we see this as something that can promote self-sufficiency, and we have the support of a number of conservatives here in Southern Oregon for that reason.
Really? Can you name some?
Well, I mean, I think speaking to people on the street, and that's what I mean. Okay, I think not there is figures. Yes,
right. But I think, you know, our group in Portland does, and in Eugene to a lesser extent, but they do tend to get the lion's share of the media attention, and they do great work. But we've also been doing a lot of campaign organizing work in Southern Oregon and in Eastern Oregon as well. I was just out speaking at a campaign event in La Grande the other week, and just like we were talking about, there was somebody there who said, "No, I'm a conservative Republican. I came to this event having a lot of doubts about the $15 minimum wage issue. But when I heard about how it would allow working families to be more self-sufficient and not depend on government so much," he says, "I changed my mind." And we hear that a lot. And we are committed to organizing for this campaign, not just in Portland and Eugene, the Willamette Valley, but all over the state. With the signature collection, we've been collecting signatures in all 36 counties, and because we do not want to leave rural Oregon behind.
All right. So the signature collection started in January. Was that the reference to talking to people since January?
No, we began collecting after the initial filing for the ballot initiative, which happened in April. But we've been out just speaking to people at the grocery stores, you know, all around in our communities throughout Southern Oregon, just really doing a lot of community education. And I think, you know, it's a matter of getting in touch with that reality of what poverty really means in Oregon, and giving people those facts around this issue and why raising the minimum wage is going to make a difference for more than 500,000 hardworking Oregonians in our state.
So it sounds like you had a 3-month advance on the actual signature collection just to let people know what the issues were and begin that discussion.
Yeah, and we did have some bills in the legislature, that similar language, that would raise the minimum wage to $15 over 3 years. And you mentioned Tina Kotek's proposal for 13, and I think it's fair to say that that wouldn't have happened without the work of groups like ours in Oregon and throughout the nation. We've seen this national movement, of course, as the disparity grows between most working people and the 1%, the wealthiest people getting richer and richer. We've seen this tremendous energy around the $15 minimum wage of the last few years. It's really captured the public imagination. I mean, I think 5 years ago, if you had suggested a $15 minimum wage, it would have seemed completely outlandish. But now it's the law in big cities like Seattle, like San Francisco, like Los Angeles. We've even seen the National Democratic Party shift their position from supporting $9 an hour to $10, $10, to $12. And I think it's clear that as more and more families are struggling to get by, that lawmakers are feeling the pressure to raise the wage. And I think Kotek's proposal reflects that.
We're talking about proposals to raise the minimum wage statewide in Oregon with the folks from 15 Now Oregon. Christy Wright is statewide organizing director. Evan Lasley is the Southern Oregon regional organizer. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Grab your headphones. We have a call here from Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Christy Wright and Evan Lasley.
Good morning. Glad to see you're working on this. Of course we need a civilized minimum wage. The original minimum wage was a good idea back in the 30s. The problem is that they didn't put a cost of living increase on it. The material put out by part of the business community for many, many decades now is simply not supported by the data. They contend, of course, that all these jobs will be lost, and they threaten the working man to vote against it by saying, well, you'll lose your job if we increase minimum wage. The data does not support that. So, of course, we need it to keep going. We may have to compromise with $13, but that would be a whole lot better than the uncivilized figure that we have now. Lots of problems, civic problems and cultural problems would be solved by giving the person who's willing to work a reasonable wage.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. So a couple of points he brings up in there. First, the indexing to inflation, which has never happened with the minimum wage. Actually, it does happen with Oregon's minimum wage now, which is why it raised to $9.25. Was it at the beginning of this year?
That's right.
Okay. So it is indexed to inflation. But if the minimum wage had kept up with inflation over the years, where would it be right now? Do we have that figure handy?
From 1968 to the present time, it depends on in which way you measure it, but certainly it would be more than $10 an hour. And if you include gains from productivity, it's more up to $20 an hour.
Really?
By some estimates, yes.
All right, so certainly north of 10 by now, and the federal minimum wage is $7.25. So
And I think it's important to note, too, that the inflation index does not include the cost of health care, does not include the cost of tuition, many things that people have to pay for that have increased very dramatically in price over the last several decades. So although it's certainly better to have an inflation raise than not, and under our proposal, it would continue to be indexed to inflation, it certainly doesn't cover all of the cost of living that people have to pay for.
That's really interesting, those omissions. No health care, no tuition in the inflation indices. Huh.
Yeah.
And those are two of the areas
the
that
know.
Have grown the greatest. Yeah, the more you know. Indeed. Christy Wright and Evan Leslie are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about raising the minimum wage, 800-838-3760 around the region, jx@jeffnet.org by email. The other point that you brought up, Evan, a while ago was about the $1.7 billion in subsidies. That's just for Oregon alone?
That's for Oregon alone, yes.
And so you mentioned food stamps. What else is the components of the $1.7 billion?
Other public assistance programs like TAMF, and essentially these programs that go to support needy families, meeting their basic needs, and all of these programs really are, on the whole, serving working families who a majority are in fact employed by businesses with 100 or more employees. And so this is taxpayers in Oregon subsidizing the low wages of, in a majority of cases, large corporations.
All right, so not the idle poor in the sense of people lying around on their front porches taking it easy, but people who actually are working and have to receive services like you mentioned, TANF, temporary assistance to needy families, and food stamps, or Oregon Trail, as it's known in Oregon. Would there be any exemptions in the minimum wage as envisioned by 15 Now Oregon? Any businesses in size that would be exempt from this, or any particular occupations, you know, like waiting tables, that sort of thing?
So we believe that no one who works should live in poverty. So there are no exemptions for smaller businesses or for certain occupations, because that's the moral value that we hold. But I think an important point here, and it's related to what we're talking about in terms of public assistance, but I think Oregonians care a lot about social responsibility. And we've been talking about how poverty wages put families in a situation where they need to rely on government programs like food stamps and welfare, which cost taxpayers a lot of money. But a living wage would allow these families to have the dignity of economic security and self-sufficiency. So I think we need to ask ourselves, who would we rather pay the workers, taxpayers, or the businesses that employ them and that profit from their labor? And we don't think it's right for businesses to ask us to subsidize poverty wages. And it's about social responsibility.
The other point that Bill mentioned in his call, though, about hearing from some employers, well, gee, I'll have to cut jobs. I will be able to afford fewer employees if I have to pay them all $15 an hour. What's your research into what might in fact happen there?
So we've seen, in fact, and there's been a lot of new research over the last few decades on minimum wage increases. And in fact, since the 1930s, when the first minimum wage legislation was introduced, we have seen the same arguments come out. In one case, in 1950, under Truman, we saw an increase in the minimum wage at the federal level from 40 cents to 75 cents, which is a near doubling of it. And many of the key players at the national level came out against it, claiming that it would lead to massive unemployment and these, you know, a closure of businesses. And in fact, following that increase that passed, we saw a growth in the economy as a whole. And that also is validated specifically in Oregon by an increase between 1989 and 1990. One of 42%, and that was an increase in our state minimum wage, that PICUN, the Farm Workers Union, and a number of our other partners on this initiative for 2016 were involved in back then. And we saw small business growth actually throughout that period following the increase. So we believe that that small business growth, strong small business growth, can go hand in hand with raise in the minimum wage.
And that's confirmed by a report released in April by the Oregon Center for Public Policy talking about the various benefits of raising the minimum wage to small businesses. One of the big ones is more customers. When people have more money to spend, they spend more money. Right now, a lot of families can only afford to shop at Walmart or McDonald's and would love to shop at small businesses in their communities if they could afford it. And they can afford it if they have more money in their pocket. So that's one of the big benefits. But also employers see reduced turnover when employees are happier. Of course, turnover is a huge expense for small businesses. And if you can keep people around, that actually saves money.
And that also relates to quality of care. So we've seen home care workers in Oregon and across the nation fighting for 15, and not just because they deserve the dignity of a living wage, but because, in fact, that will provide more consistent care for the people that they serve. And that reduced turnover can have a real impact upon the lives of the people that they take care of. Those are the elderly and the sick and people in our community. They fulfill vital roles in our community, and they deserve a living wage.
Back to the point about periods in history like the Truman administration, when the minimum wage nearly doubled from 40 cents an hour to 75 cents an hour, this would seem to be a pretty powerful argument in favor of raising the minimum wage and it not ending up being a job-killing program, as I'm sure some people would say. That one seems to get drowned out a fair amount, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Excuse me. All right. We're talking to Christy Wright and Evan Lastly from 15 Now Oregon about raising Oregon's minimum wage to $15. Mm-hmm. Join our discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Was there a further point you wanted to throw in here, Christy?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of historical trends, so today in Oregon, nearly half of new jobs pay less than $15 an hour. We have seen this shift toward more jobs in the service industry. And I think there's a popular conception of the minimum wage worker as, you know, a teenager working in a fast food restaurant. But more and more, we're seeing people in their 20s and 30s with families filling a variety of jobs, whether that's working as janitors in our schools, working as home care workers or landscapers, cooking, serving food. And these are all important contributions to our communities. I mean, if we woke up tomorrow and there was no one to cook or serve our food, no one to clean the classrooms, no one to care for our grandmothers and grandfathers, that's not a society that would work well. And so we need to make sure that these people have a living wage because they do not deserve to live in poverty.
You mentioned the cost of turnover to some employers, and it would be less if the wages were higher. Is there any provision in the $15 minimum wage that you're going for a training wage or some sort of low step on the way to $15 once you've gone through training period or something like that?
No, there is no training wage, but we do have a three-year phase-in. So it's not jumping to 15 overnight. It's over 3 years. So we're talking about an increase of $1.50 each year over 3 years. And we think that is manageable, especially given all the benefits of raising the minimum wage, all the increased spending in our communities. That same report from the Oregon Center for Public Policy said that raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour would put an additional $3.2 billion into Oregon's economy. And businesses would certainly reap the benefits of that.
And what about for tax income for the state of Oregon, since it is almost entirely from the income tax? Were there findings about that from Oregon Center for Public Policy or anybody else?
I don't think we've seen some specific research on that, but I would be interested to see those numbers.
All right. So you're shooting for $15 an hour. And again, that would phase in. Tina Kotek, the House Speaker in Oregon, mentioned this week that she wants to go up to $13 by 2018, also phased in. So $11 an hour January 1st, 2016, $12 an hour January 1st, 2017, $13 an hour January 1st, 2018, and then it would be indexed to inflation after that. I guess you're not in a position where you're in an organization called 15 Now Oregon where you can support a $13 minimum wage, but was there a sense that you got half a loaf from Tina Kotek or from the legislature in general in any attention paid to the minimum wage issue this particular legislative session?
So there were key legislators such as Senate President Peter Courtney, who made very clear statements that they had no intention of allowing a minimum wage bill to come to the floor this session. And as far as I know, Peter Courtney has not changed his position on that. So while I appreciate the efforts to keep the minimum wage issue in the news, I think that realistically, the legislature will probably not act on the issue this session, disappointingly. But at the same time, in Oregon, we have this wonderful ballot initiative process that allows the voters to make laws directly. And so that's why we filed the ballot measure, so that we can do it ourselves. And I think with the ballot measure, there is no good reason to settle for less than 15.
Was there a discussion with the legislators? I imagine you must have had some conversations with Peter Courtney and Tina Kotek, Senate President and House Speaker. And had Peter Courtney indicated he would not go for 15, and that's what sent you to the ballot measure?
Yes. I mean, that's what he said to us since the beginning when we first worked on having the language drafted for our bills in December. He made a public statement to the Medford Mail Tribune, I believe, back in March, to the same effect. And so we knew early on that we would face pretty strong resistance in the legislature, but it was still very valuable to have that conversation on the statewide level. I think it's fair to say we really changed the terms of the debate on the minimum wage in Oregon. 15 was really the only number that people wanted to talk about, despite the variety of different minimum wage proposals on the table. And I think because we're in a state where nearly half of new jobs pay poverty wages, where it's harder and harder for working families to get ahead, that 15 is the symbol of economic security and self-sufficiency. And that's powerful. That's inspiring to people. And we think it's time for hardworking Oregonians to collect the living wage that they've earned.
Any concern that you touch off an inflationary spiral here? Because, obviously, and I remember learning about this first in elementary school, higher wages lead to higher prices, lead to higher wages, lead to higher prices, and so on. So there's some concern, I'm sure, among some economists there. And what's the response?
Yes. Well, we in fact see that prices are a built-in fact of our economy, and because businesses are under pressure to increase profits, as a result, prices go up even when wages don't, as we've seen over the last 35 years. And yet, if you can do a comparison with minimum wage in other countries, and for example, in Denmark, workers at McDonald's make $21 in U.S. dollars, and that's with paid sick leave, overtime pay, guaranteed hours, and at least 2 days off per week. And their Big Mac costs only about 56 cents more than ours.
All right, so not a huge difference.
I think that some of these concerns are certainly overblown.
Okay, so you have until July of 2016 to collect the signatures, and you're probably hitting up a lot of different locations. People will see you out and about, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
all over Southern Oregon.
Okay, 15 now, Oregon pushing for a $15 minimum wage. Christy Wright is statewide organizing director. Evan Lasley is the Southern Oregon regional organizer. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.